You are listening to the Health and Wellness Connection Podcast, the number one wellness podcast designed to provide the latest information to help you achieve your health and wellness goals. Our show features exciting guests, the latest in medical research, and in-depth discussions in current trends on weight loss, nutrition, and fitness. No matter what your interest, the Health and Wellness Podcast has you covered. And now, presenting your illustrious host, Dr. Barry, MD.
Hello, 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 and thank you for listening to the Health and Wellness Connection Podcast. I want to thank you for being a faithful listener and checking us out every week on Afro Vibes Radio. But hey, if you somehow don't get a chance to check us out Thursdays, 4 p.m. Central Standard Time on Afro Vibes Radio, please don't hesitate to check out our podcast page. That's anchor.fm/HW Connection. That's HWCONNECTION. Again, check us out on our anchor.fm podcast page. Check out all the shows uploaded there immediately after the show airs on Afro Vibes Radio. Also, if you want to listen to the show live on Afro Vibes Radio, please download the app, AfroVibesRadio.com. You can download it from the website or go to your local or favorite, mobile OS app, be it Android or iPhone. Download the app on your phone today. You can stream the show as well as the awesome Afrobeat Music Collection live on your phone for free. Again, no money down, all free, all awesomeness. Do it today. Again, if you want to reach out to me personally, you can always get at me on Instagram. My name, Dr. Barry MD, DrBarryMD. Also, you can email me at drbarryhealth@gmail.com. That's Dr. Barry, DrBarryHealth@gmail.com. And last but not least, Facebook is also where we're at, posting all the shows as well as other exciting articles. Check us out at www.facebook.com/nextlevelweightloss. Again, please don't hesitate to reach out to us. We love hearing from listeners. Any feedback, any even sponsorship opportunities, because we are very highly listened podcast. Always looking for sponsors. Check us out if you're interested in sponsoring the show. And also, you can do it on the Anchor FM page. You can donate, become a super sponsor. We're going to get a lot of cool freebies for those people who do sign up. So check us out again. It's Dr. Barry here. Thank you for listening. Stay tuned for the show. Hello, 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 guys, and welcome to the Health and Wellness Connection radio show / podcast. It's your host, Dr. Barry, and I want to thank you for joining us today for what I hope will be an educational and entertaining episode. So we're talking about all those good things that are in the news about health and wellness, and of course, that involves the coronavirus. We're hitting some of the details regarding some of the new developments. There's going to be a little bit of politics as well, because we're going to really talk about some of the recent issues facing the Trump administration and some of the new vaccine controversies that are developing. So we're going to hit that. And also, we're going to really, really do a deep dive into some of the amazing benefits of water. So stay tuned for that, guys. We have more of that at the end of the show. So first, we're going to talk about, of course, the coronavirus. The numbers are still growing, guys. And it seems like this virus is going to be here for a while. Again, this is the second week in, actually the third week, I should say, into September. And the reality is this, coronavirus is still a big deal. 30 million people globally are currently afflicted with the virus, with a total number of 945,000 deaths. So we're approaching 1 million deaths globally. So definitely a significant factor in what's going on in the world. Good news, though, is that recovered, we have 21,700,000 people. So quite a few people are recovering and doing very well. However, there is some concern that, you know, people who are having chronic issues are just coming to this problem, and people are getting what we call recurrent infections. So they get fine, and then all of a sudden they start having symptoms that are believed to be due to chronic inflammation that was caused by the initial infection. So something we're going to be closely watching, especially as what we suspect is a new surge will start to begin. Now we're seeing that there is definitely an increase in the number of patients. You know, this is the fall season. Of course, this is typically when flu begins to start to peak its head, starting to see flu patients already in the emergency rooms here in the Houston, Texas area. And I'm sure others are seeing similar numbers and exposures in their various areas. So flu is becoming a thing. So definitely want to there's concern there, because if flu starts to really rage, and with coronavirus also in the area, it will cause significant numbers of people going to hospitals. And we're already seeing increasing new patients in different parts of the globe. Let's talk about that, guys. So USA, as we said, 6.8 million people total have been diagnosed in the United States, leading the charge. You know, India's fast approaching for that number one slot, guys. So USA has been leading for this the whole summer. It's very possible that they could lose out the number one for this ignominious title, if you will. Again, USA with 6.8 million people, 40,000 new cases diagnosed as of a few days ago. Again, that's actually trending up. We've been averaging about 30,000 and such the past few weeks. So now we're going up now as the fall approaches, and we have about 1,150 deaths. Now, it's believed that the USA numbers is kind of due to a general increase in cases all over the country. Particularly California is still number one slot. California is extremely popular to state, and I think that's probably the main reason that California has really had a hard time dealing with the coronavirus as far as keeping control of it, given the things we mentioned in previous shows, like the high level of Latinos, which are disproportionately affected by this coronavirus, including in a number of new infections and deaths. We also have the high density in some of the bigger cities like Los Angeles, which has been a hotbed for the coronavirus, specifically in California. So, you know, California is definitely having a hard time dealing with the virus. They've done actually quite a bit on the legislative front, you know, shutting down beaches, shutting down different events. There's even talks to ban trick-or-treating. But again, while they did pass ordinances and so forth, enforcing them has been the issue. And you know, it's been a tough place for politicians to determine how aggressive they want to be in enforcing some of these ordinances to help reduce this coronavirus spread. And we all know that the masks have been a huge controversy here in the United States. Other countries have not had such a problem with the mask, but here in the United States has been a very difficult task getting the mask to really become something people accept and use and wear regularly. You know, definitely I'll be first to admit that masks aren't the most comfortable thing in the world, but they have been shown to be effective in reducing spread. So something that many countries have instituted from the onset, and it has greatly reduced really the significant spread of the virus in their various locales. So I don't think we're not stressing the importance of masks. And, you know, I understand people, you know, don't like masks. It's uncomfortable. It's annoying. But, you know, masks have been shown to reduce spread. So I think it's up to everyone to continue using them. So again, California going through with the virus, followed by California when it comes to these virus cases is Texas. Now, Texas is also a big state, a lot of big cities. Houston, Dallas are some of the big epicenters in Texas. So Texas is also having a huge bump in their new cases as well. It's believed that because Texas is restarting schools, there's been clusters of new infections there in different school districts throughout the Texas area. So many districts are reassessing their overall approach toward this reopening, and we may see some continued delays. So Texas is definitely still significantly affected by the coronavirus. 4,000 new cases, about 140 new deaths. Florida, number three, and New York, number four. So it's definitely a lot going on as far as coronavirus. You know, states that are really even being very aggressive, like New York, for instance, are still seeing new cases and new infections pop up. Illinois and Georgia. So, you know, a lot of states all over the country really are being affected, not just Democratic states or Republican states. It's really kind of a total kind of spread of this virus, if you will. So doesn't really discriminate red or blue. You're getting sick if you really don't do what you're supposed to be doing. So like we said, behind the United States is India. India has been really having a huge surge in cases over the past few weeks. We've been mentioning that over the past few weeks as well on the show. But now they're right at number two, which is right behind US. They've actually overtaken Brazil, which has been number two for many months now behind the United States. So Brazil with 5 million total cases. Recently, they're getting about 90 to 100,000 new cases being diagnosed per day. And they're about 1,100 deaths per day. So they're going through it in India. And, you know, India has gone through mass testing programs now, getting those underway. They're also trying to help reduce some of the high levels of congestion in some of their cities. You know, India is probably the most populated, one of the most populated countries on the globe, with about 1.3 billion people. So, you know, because of the population, there's a lot of people living close quarters, which is, you know, just really bad for, you know, containment when it comes to coronavirus. So a lot of people are getting it from neighbors and family and friends and so forth. And we know the rest, how that goes with coronavirus. So, you know, just watch out, you know, for what's going on in India. Make sure, you know, that they're, you know, and India is doing a lot to ensure that they're trying to reduce numbers. Like I said, they're instituted mass testing. They're trying to ensure that they get the folks who are sick, you know, in the appropriate treatment facilities. And hopefully those efforts will help in, you know, stemming some of the increased infections we're seeing out there in India. And like I said, Brazil is number three with about 37,000 new cases being diagnosed as of yesterday. Total number of infected, 4.4 million and about 1,000 deaths. Russia is number five, Peru number six. Now, when it comes to the continent of Africa, South Africa still leading the charge as far as countries who have the highest rates of coronavirus infections, with 653,444 people currently infected. Now, they've been noticing a recent surge. They've actually, in South Africa, have had quite a bit of a lull over this past few weeks, actually. But now about 2,000 new cases were diagnosed as of yesterday, about 60 deaths. So again, African nations have really been spared when it comes to coronavirus. There's been really low overall infectivity all throughout the continent. Another large country of the continent, Nigeria, which many predicted would have a very significant coronavirus issues, given their high population. Cities like Lagos, extremely populated and highly dense. Nigeria, with a country of 207 million people, however, only have 56,000 total numbers of infected, with about 100 people being diagnosed per day, about 2-3 deaths per day, total of only 1,000 deaths total in a country of 200 million. So definitely, you know, the African continent has been very lucky. Kenya, another example, 54 million people in the city of Kenya, sorry, in the nation of Kenya, only 36,000 total infections. In a whole nation. Now, again, you know, who knows? They do have a low testing rate, only testing about 9,000 per 1 million people. But as we said in the previous podcast, you know, people have been actually screened for antibodies in Kenya, many small towns. And it's been shown that many people have actually caught the virus but never really had symptoms. So they were essentially, you know, asymptomatic. So it's very interesting how this virus is really kind of causing havoc in certain populations and, you know, not really affecting others as much. So we'll keep following that and reporting on it as you will. And of course, the gold standard nation that many people have been praising, especially for their effective mask policy and quarantining and so forth of infected patients, is South Korea. You know, they were one of the first nations to really get a lot of, you know, sick people from the initial Wuhan, you know, epicenter. So South Korea, nation of 51 million people, only 22,000 people nationwide have gotten sick. And these people are testing like crazy. So these are actually probably accurate. 42,000 people being tested per 1 million. 367 deaths total. So South Korea is really the gold standard, and they've really been kind of the ideal kind of model many countries are trying to replicate. This is why the mask theory has gotten so much momentum, because when they follow countries like South Korea, which have really done a very excellent job in pushing for regular mask usage everywhere, and everywhere you go outside of your home, you're pretty much required to wear a mask, or you can get fined. There's no, of course, I'm sure I don't think you guys have seen any videos of Koreans, you know, going off, you know, at a local grocery store or yelling and screaming at the police because they have to wear masks. You know, they're fairly, you know, compliant people out there. So it seems like they really took the mask thing to heart. And as a result, they've really had no significant coronavirus infections as far as, you know, their population goes. So, you know, it goes to show you that, you know, there are definitely some benefits to the masks, even though, you know, people feel that, you know, the masks are so uncomfortable. You know, there's definitely strong evidence showing that masks work. So let's keep wearing those masks, guys. And I'll be the first to admit, masks are not the most comfortable thing to wear, but, you know, we got to do it for the culture, if you will. So let's get those masks on and let's keep going. So anyway, so moving on, you know, coronavirus is still definitely causing a lot of issues on the political front. We talked a lot about how The vaccines have really been a big point of controversy. Companies are actually working on vaccines. And like we said last week, there was a huge issue regarding one phase 3 trial going on currently in the UK. Oxford University is actually the site where they are testing a new coronavirus vaccine developed by AstraZeneca. Now, there was a complication. One of the patients who are undergoing the phase 3 trial, I think there's about 30,000 people. Don't quote me on that, but it's a large number of people in the phase 3 trial who are getting the coronavirus vaccine, and they're being monitored for side effects. And one patient developed a condition known as transverse myelitis. This is actually an inflammation of the spinal cord, which can result in chronic nerve pain. Sometimes you can get even paralysis. So this is a pretty significant complication. So as a result, this trial was actually halted. Now, only one person out of, 30 or 40,000 people had this symptom, but because it's such a significant symptom, there was concern because, again, because of this group of 30,000 people, one out of 30,000 received it. It's possible that if it goes into the general population where you get, tens to hundreds of millions of people getting it, you have a large number, thousands of people getting this complication. So that could be quite problematic, especially when a complication is as significant as this is. So this has led to some pause with the other trials that are currently undergoing, that are currently going on at other sites, especially those going on in the United States of America. The Federal Drug Administration recently spoke out on this and stated that they wanted to reassess all the current trials for the current coronavirus vaccine and ensure that there are, no concerns regarding complications. So we're going to talk more about this, guys, after the break. We have to pause here for commercial. So sit tight, guys. We're going to be right back with more information regarding some of the hot news. And we're going to talk a little bit about water as well. We're going to try to get some of that, info in there. So stay tuned, guys. Dr. Barry here, the Health and Wellness Connection. We'll be back after the break. Hello, guys, and welcome back to the Health and Wellness Connection podcast / radio show. Always broadcasting live on Afro Vibes Radio, Thursdays, 4 p.m. Central Standard Time. Thanks for tuning in, guys. So again, it's Dr. Bear here. I want to let you guys know about what's going on because, this coronavirus thing, even though I'm sure you guys are sick of hearing it as I am sick of reporting on it, the reality is that it's really taking over our economical situation and our political situation. As we said before the break, there's been a lot of issues regarding this vaccine and when it's going to be available. With some of the recent complications we noted from these current vaccine trials, it's believed that it's going to be resulting in the vaccine being pushed back because they want to make sure this thing is really safe. There's already, kind of a low opinion of vaccines in general. The anti-vaxxers have done actually a very effective job in, shedding light on the concern regarding vaccines. And, it's been kind of a back and forth. And, there's been a lot of basically suspicion in the whole vaccine community. Now, I told you guys, we're going to do a whole, special on vaccines that we're working on currently. Vaccines, I believe are extremely important and an important tool in the what we call the medical toolbox to treat certain infections. Not the end all be all. Unfortunately, given the climate of the country and the unfortunate, focus on the dollars and cents of the matter, vaccines have been pushed to the forefront because, they're a very lucrative, money-making, endeavor for those invested. Now, the funny thing is people don't know, which is a fun fact that people don't really know, the first vaccine that was really produced on a mass scale was the polio vaccine. And that actually was available for free to those people who wanted it. And really it was given out worldwide for free. And because of this kind of just extremely open availability for the vaccine, it really led to the polio, illness really just kind of being eradicated for relatively quickly. Now, of course, polio is not fully eradicated, but the vaccines were instrumental in really driving down those numbers of polio infections that were really ravaging the nation during the time. I think it was the 60s or so. So it's really, of a concern that, these vaccines, when used effectively, can be very effective in really significantly reducing infections of various pathogens, and in this case, the coronavirus. And because the coronavirus, as we have previously stated, is ravaging the globe, there's a big push to get some sort of vaccine that will help reduce, people's ability to get sickened by the vaccine. And as we said, not everyone gets critically ill from the vaccine. From the coronavirus infection. But those who are susceptible are extremely vulnerable and given the devastating complications we're seeing with coronavirus infections, it would be ideal for people like that to receive the vaccine. So that being said, there's been a lot of concern, especially with the Trump administration. They're really pushing for this vaccine to come out sooner rather than later. It's been, Trump has been really kind of insisting that the vaccine be made available before the presidential election, which is the first week in November. And clearly, you know, many scientists are kind of alarmed and saying that that's not really a realistic goal, given that the safety concerns haven't been fully fleshed out, that pushing it that soon could result in potential catastrophic effects. Now, one of the big guys speaking out against kind of this early push, early release of the vaccine, is the director of the CDC, Dr. Robert Redfield. Now, obviously, the CDC and the Trump administration are at odds due to the vaccine, due to the coronavirus, you know, pandemic and how they've kind of approached it. You know, very polar opposites and very different strategies being employed by each group. And as a result, a lot of heads have been butting. So, you know, definitely issues going on there. However, you know, it was really pretty crazy because recently the head of CDC was really, you know, really pressed on the vaccine and when it will be made available, wanting him to comment on the Trump, claims that the vaccine will be out sooner rather than later. And Dr. Redinger just came out and said, absolutely not. He thinks, which is, again, the earliest that the vaccine will be available will be the second or third quarter of 2021. So, you know, well after the so-called election, this obviously made the Trump administration very upset because they're trying to have this thing out before November of 2020. So, again, a lot of back and forth here. Let's hope the right thing is done because ultimately, you know, politics are truly secondary when it comes to human life. So we don't want to be pushing things out there that aren't safe for political points when, in fact, you know, if there's a massive, you know, outbreak of transverse myelitis and people are getting paralyzed because a vaccine was put into them, you know, it won't be a very happy day for for really anyone involved. So let's make sure this thing is safe, and we're going to make sure that, you know, we do, you know, the full testing is done before, you know, these things are introduced to people's bodies on a large scale. But that being said, it's definitely not all doom and gloom. There has been reports that the vaccines that are being tested are actually quite effective in creating antibodies that are, you know, protective against the coronavirus. So, you know, the only thing about these antibodies and this vaccine in general is that we're not really sure how long those antibodies will be effective for and how long they'll last in your system. There's been some vaccine trials using boosters to help increase that duration for the antibodies to be present, but still, it's still not clear how long you're actually protected once you're vaccinated. So, you know, these things are all, you know, kind of part of the reason why the vaccine issue has really been touch and go. But one thing that was actually very important, and that's one thing that Dr. Redding of the CDC actually stated, was that, you know, the vaccines are going to be important, but truly masks are probably more effective than vaccines. So especially all those guys, all you guys out there who are really anti-vaccine, anti-vaxxers, if you will, masks are probably actually more effective because if you're wearing masks regularly, the virus will have a very difficult time truly getting into your system, especially if you're just a casual, you know, person moving about, minimizing your outdoor and human contact. If you wear a mask when you do go out, it really does increase your resistance to the vaccine getting into your system. So, you know, if you're definitely someone not interested in vaccines, you need to be very, very, you know, consistent with your mask wearing and making sure that you're not, you know, slipping up and, you know, not wearing your mask, especially when you're around groups of people, because, again, you know, you can definitely get ill if you're not careful. All right. So a new story has recently been put out that showed that restaurants actually may be a key part of the spread of COVID-19. And this is actually out of the CDC as well. They're saying that people, you know, who when they go out and eat and drink, they cannot effectively close their mouths. They're going to eat, which is really kind of obvious because you can't be eating out and then with a mask on. You're going to have to take the mask off. You know, you're going to be eating and drinking. Someone tells a funny joke, you belly laugh, you know, just kind of gag, you know, a lot of, you know, talking. And this is, you know, clearly a great environment for someone who is potentially spreading the virus to get it to different people. So as a result, you know, many new recommendations are being put out there by the CDC stating that, you know, people need to be very careful when they're out, because if you're, you know, out and about amongst many people, you're actually going to really have increased risk of getting sick, especially if you're eating, because you can't really wear a mask when you're around other people. So yes, there was a study that was recently published by the CDC that was done to kind of look at patients who had tested positive and really kind of dial down what kind of activities they were involved in prior to them testing positive. So how they did it was that they created two different groups, about 160 people per group. And they looked at people who basically had tested positive for the disease in one group, and they also had symptoms of COVID-19, like aches, fever, shortness of breath, and they tested positive. About 160 people in that group. A second group was people who had symptoms of COVID-19, like they felt feverish, they had, you know, weakness and whatnot, but they actually tested negative. So, they looked at the two groups, you know, the group that was positive COVID and then groups that were symptomatic but negative. So what they did was looked at the two groups and gave them questions as far as, you know, what did they do prior to getting the symptoms? Like, what activities were they involved in? You know, were they going shopping? Were they going to restaurants and dining out? Were they going to the salon or going to the gym? And this kind of seeing what they were doing so they can kind of get an idea what activities were, you know, leading to these people getting positive exposures. So what they did was they looked at the two groups. One thing that was overwhelmingly clear was that people who were testing positives were in close proximity to someone else who had previously tested positive. So that's obvious, right? So people who were like, for instance, their spouse had gotten sick. They were about 42% of those patients were basically positive due to someone close to them who had been positive prior. So that's, you know, if your wife is sick or your kid is sick, you're definitely at an increased risk, significantly increased risk of getting sick. And that's how the majority of these patients are developing, is through family and close contact with people who are close to them. Now, another thing that was also seen was that people who were testing positive were 2.5 times more likely to have dined at a restaurant in 2 weeks prior. So people who had been, and when they say dining at a restaurant, it was really anything, meaning dining outside versus dining inside, you know, sitting in a patio. They didn't really break the down between the groups, even though it's believed that dining outdoors is a bit safer, especially if you're maintaining 6 feet, because the air will help reduce some of the viral presence. However, you know, it clearly wasn't completely protective, because people who had been outdoors dining ended up coming testing positive. Now, also what was found in this study was that those who, you know, were wearing masks regularly, you know, were definitely decreased risk of getting the infection. But it was reported that those who had been, you know, regularly going to coffee shops and whatnot and hanging out in public spaces for extended periods of time were also testing positive at a higher rate than others. And this is even, you know, increased when it was found that in these public spaces, others were not wearing masks either. So it was found that definitely, you know, masks is very important as helping reduce some of the spread, because it's really important that, you know, with the mask on, the virus just has limited ability to penetrate and cause illness. So yes, masks are important, and, you know, eating out is also potentially a risk. So just be careful, guys. All right, so another story that kind of caught my eye, even though it's kind of wandering into the realm of conspiracy land, but hey, sometimes these quote-unquote conspiracy theories have a little bit of truth to them. So here's what we're talking about. There's a recent virologist out of China who was actually based in the Wuhan lab, where it's believed, you know, the virus may potentially have been originated from. Dr. Li Mengyan, she apparently was a scientist in the lab that apparently was associated with this virus. She recently actually defected. She actually fled the Chinese nation and released some sort of interview on a talk show saying that, you know, there was, you know, basically evidence that this virus was potentially man-made in a lab in Wuhan, China. Now, there's been a lot of theories, you know, alleging this, and the Chinese government has repeatedly denied them. I think this also was part of the controversy that Trump was also insinuating when he would refer to the virus as the China virus. Now, you know, many people have been pushing back against that classification, but, you know, theories like this have been kind of coming about that has been giving increased credence to the whole theory. Now, of course, there's no evidence to really say if this is truly the case or not, but it's interesting to say the least. So that being said, this scientist out of Wuhan, China, actually published a paper with some other colleagues stating that the virus was so unique that there's no way it could be something that had occurred naturally. Now, you know, initially, there was an initial wave of kind of shock that she actually was speaking out, because that's something that, you know, does not happen in China. China is a nation where if you really go against the narrative of the state, you're essentially erased from the public space. Now, she actually fled the country, so, you know, she technically couldn't be, you know, arrested or whatnot, but it was believed that all of her credentials were wiped away from her colleges, you know, her previous job. They wiped all traces of her name from any work she did or any kind of work she published. So, you know, essentially she didn't exist in her place of her birth. So it's pretty, pretty crazy, you know, especially when you compare it to how we quote unquote cancel people here in the United States when someone says some, you know, potentially offensive online and they're quote unquote canceled, but then they're back for a few weeks. In China, canceling is true cancellation. Like, you're out of here. Like, you can't even say the person's name without potentially getting, in trouble. So that being said, this scientist alleged that, you know, the virus was man-made. However, some scientists have been criticizing the allegations, saying that it's not really truly clear as far as proof that this is truly some sort of, you know, man-made creation, and that it's very possible that despite the virus's unique nature, it could still be a naturally occurring virus. So, you know, the truth will eventually come out. You know, people are still investigating, analyzing the virus itself, analyzing the genome, trying to see what led to this virus to develop as it did, and if it was truly, you know, synthetic or not. So we'll, of course, bring you that info once we get credible info to that. But that being said, you know, this controversy still was something that was quite shocking when it initially dropped. And we'll, of course, drop links to the article. You guys can go read it. It's on New York Post. Highly recommend it. Very interesting information. So, yes, sir. And that leads us to the end of the show, guys. I know we didn't get to the water, but we're going to talk about that. I promise you guys, next week, we're going to have a whole breakdown of some cool different kinds of, first of the importance of water and why we need to be, you know, drinking as much of it as we can. You know, we have a lot of, you know, great things that as far as, you know, what water does for us. So we're going to really kind of expound on that and really kind of give more info regarding, you know, awesome ways to stay healthy, which definitely includes drinking appropriate amounts of water. So we'll wrap it up for today's show. It's Dr. Barry. Thank you for joining us and listening to the show, guys. Any questions or concerns, please don't hesitate to reach us. Find me at drbarryhealth@gmail.com. Also on Instagram at drbarrymd. Again, any questions, feel free to reach out. It's your host, Dr. Barry. Peace.
Thank you for listening to the Health and Wellness Connection podcast and radio show. For more information on ways to get healthy, please check us out. www.anchor.fm/HW Connection. Here you can re-listen to the show, check out older shows, and even further support the show by becoming a subscriber to the podcast. Please check us out today. Again, that's anchor.fm/HW Connection. And also, don't forget to follow Dr. Barry on Instagram at drbarrymd. Until next time, stay healthy.